Got to make sure she gets down the steps safe. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day to be a neighbor. Would you be mine? I see somebody singing that. Could you be mine? How many of you guys recognize that song? Today we're going to be looking at a passage in Scripture that talks about being a neighbor. And I believe that there's people all around us here as a church, then even where you live, that are asking that very question, won't you be my neighbor? So we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 10 at the story of the Good Samaritan. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It says, then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered him, as he often did, with a question. He said, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So this expert in law should already know what it means to inherit eternal life. So he answered him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus told him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? So Jesus took up that question and said, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. I want you to understand that this road was a road that really wasn't a safe road to be traveling on. Typically, if people were traveling this road, they'd be going in large groups of people to make sure that they were safe. But this guy was traveling alone, and he fell into the hands of robbers. It says they stripped him, they beat him up, they left, and leaving him half dead. So this man was traveling down this road by himself, and he was jumped by some guys. They beat him up, they took everything they had, and left him there on the side of the road to die. I imagine that guy in that point, in that moment, he was looking around hoping that someone would see his need. Someone would see that he needed help. And he was waiting for that. So in verse 31, it says a priest happened to be going down that road. So a priest, that's someone that for sure is going to help this guy, right? That's what they were supposed to do. They were the leaders of the church then, so it's kind of expected of them to help. But it said a priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So he literally saw someone in need and went to the other side of the road, basically to avoid him. Then verse 32, it says, in the same way a Levite was someone who would help the priest. It says, when he arrived at that place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. So it's two people who would claim to be men of God saw someone on the side of the road hurting in need, did nothing about it. Literally said they went to the other side of the road. They avoided him altogether. Then it says, but a Samaritan. Now what's crazy about this is a Samaritan was actually one that would, they would say that Samaritans and Jews were not, they did not get along. They said that they hated one another. But a Samaritan was traveling down this road. And when he came upon the man, when he saw that the man was in need, he had compassion. He saw him and wanted to do something about that need. So he went over to him and he bandaged his wounds. He poured on olive oil and wine. And then he put him on his own animal, which more than likely meant he had to walk. He put him on his own animal and walked him to the inn and then took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will reimburse you for anything extra that you spend. Then Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The man said, the one who showed mercy. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. Let's pray real quick. Dear God, we're so thankful for your word and what you're going to teach us today through the story of the Good Samaritan. Lord, I would pray that as we leave this place today, we would have an open mind to really realize what it means to be someone's neighbor. Pray these things in your name. Amen. So in this passage, I believe there's three very simple things that we can look at and learn as believers and how we ought to be acting. The first thing is we need to open our eyes. We need to open our eyes. There was three different people that came and crossed the path of this man that was beaten up and left for dead. Three people. The first two would be like kind of like you and me, priests, Levites, people of the church, someone that he would have expected to help him. But they didn't do anything about it. They actually went to the other side of the road. I think that could be compared to a lot like what we do often. We all have different excuses, right? When God's told us to do something very specific, we're called to go and make disciples of all nations. We're supposed to love people. But these two guys, they saw someone that needed them, and they had a moment to really show Jesus to that guy. And they walked by. Imagine they had several excuses. Some excuses they may have been going through their mind is, this road is way too dangerous for me to stop and help that man. Or he might just be a decoy for an ambush. If we help him, maybe someone's going to jump us and leave us the same way. Or I've got to get to the temple and do my work for Jesus. Or I've got to get home to see my family. Or this one, someone really needs to help that guy. Whenever they really could have. They're going to say, well, man, somebody else should really help him. Or if I'm going to serve at the temple, I can't get my clothes dirty. Tell you what, guys, ministry is dirty. Maybe they said, I don't know first aid. I don't really know how to help him. Or he's a hopeless case anyways. Even if I helped him, nothing good would come out of that. Or I'm only one person. That job's too big. So that's the kind of jobs we should be looking for. Because when we look at a job or someone to help and we think that's too big of a deal for us, that's when we can rely on God. We need to be looking for God-sized things. Or how about this one? I can pray for him. See a need, I'll pray for him. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes we'll say, and I'll pray for that person. Then days go by and we sometimes forget. Someone asks us to pray, yeah, we'll pray for you, no problem. We don't do it. So we could stop and pray for them immediately. Maybe that's all we can do. That's something, right? Or maybe they could have said, he brought this all on himself. He shouldn't have been all alone on this dangerous road. And he never asked me for help. He's laying there. He saw me. Maybe he could have asked for some help. But all these things are ultimately just excuses. Charles Spurgeon once said, I never knew a man refuse to help the poor who failed to give at least one admirable excuse. We've all got excuses that we can give, right? My parents used to say, and you guys probably heard this a million times, we've all got excuses, and they're like armpits, right? We've all got a couple, and they all stink, really. They're just excuses. We need to look past our excuses. So the Samaritan, he just like the men, saw the guy in need. But when he saw him, something different happened. It said his eyes were open. Like he literally saw the man. And then it said he had compassion on him. Finding someone in need is an easy thing to do if we just keep our eyes open for it. There's people in need all around us. There's people in need all around where you live. There's people in need all around where I live in Sand Springs. There's people in need all around this church. They just need us to see that. We also need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel with others. As Christ followers, we often walk right past those who are hurting as if we don't even see them. And I promise you, they see us walking right past them. Just like that man. So ultimately, we should be seekers. We should be seeking out those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who need to know Jesus. Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Ultimately, we should be imitators of Jesus, right? We should be a bunch of little Jesuses walking around in this community, looking for people who we can help, looking for people we can share the gospel with. We need to open our eyes and intentionally look for those who are lost, those who are broken, and those who are hurt. We need to remember we ultimately have the greatest news in the world, right? That Jesus came to die for us, right? It's the best news in the entire world. If we want to reach people, we need to have our eyes open, willing to look for them. But not only do we need to have our eyes open, we need to open our hearts. We need to be compassionate. Verse 33 in Luke said that when he saw him, he had compassion. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. And that's accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that person's suffering. So it says he saw the man and he had compassion on him. So what that means is he saw him and he really felt like in his heart, I have to do something for him. I can't leave him there in his current state. I've got to do everything I can to do to help him. Both the priest and the Levite saw the man who was in need. But only the Samaritan had the compassion. He's the only one that truly had his eyes open, but his heart was open as well. So ultimately, at that moment, the excuses were gone. Honestly, he may have had some thoughts. Man, should I really help him? But he had compassion. The compassion in our heart, the love that we have that only Jesus can give us, and that we want to share that to others, that can overshadow any excuse or question we may have. So the excuses would be gone. And Luke 6, verse 36 says that we should be compassionate just as Jesus is compassionate. If we truly want to reach people, we need to open up our hearts and be compassionate. Then the third thing is, it's one thing to have our eyes open and to see the needs around us. It's another thing to feel like in our heart, like, man, I really want to do something to help them. But we really need to open up our hands as well. The Samaritan saw the man in need and he felt compassion for him. Then he did something about it. I know there's oftentimes I feel this way. I see somebody that's in need and my heart just goes out for him, but I don't do anything about it. I think we all can say we've been in those moments in life. But if God's given us the eyes to see that person in need and gave us that compassion that only Jesus would give us, then we need to really do something about it. Jesus went in amongst the lost with an open eyes, open hearts, and open hands. We need to do the same. The Samaritan saw him and he went and bandaged his wounds. He fixed him up to the best of his ability, then put him on his own animal and like I said earlier, he probably walked in front of that animal and guided that man to more help. So he spent some time with him on that dangerous road that they were on. So together they went to the inn, and then he made sure he was taken care of again, even went as far as giving extra money just to make sure he was taken care of. That's how we ought to be. We need to be people that have open eyes, open hearts, and open hands. If we are ever going to be effective in reaching people for Jesus, we have to do that. We need to be willing to do the work that Jesus would do. Oftentimes, we have to be willing to meet the physical need of people to earn the right to meet their spiritual needs. I'm going to share just a little testimony of one of my former students in one of our youth groups. It was my first job working with students, and I'll be honest, I've grown a lot in this area, but I used to be really, really nervous and shy and wouldn't talk in front of people. And it's just like God to use where our struggles are to show His glory, right? So as I began in this ministry position working with youth, and we had a birthday party, and we kids in our youth group, they're like family to us, so we invited them over to come hang out with our kids. I believe it was Aaliyah's birthday party. And so we had some pizza and stuff, and we had a lot of leftover. And we had one of our students, his name was Marcus, and he said, "Hey, can we go feed this to a homeless person?" I was like, "Man, that sounds like a great idea." But honestly, that kind of stretched me, right? Because I had never done ministry to the homeless. You know what? Marcus didn't either. He just thought that would be a great idea, thought that would be something that Jesus would do. So I said, "Sure, let's go. Let's get this leftover pizza. Let's get this leftover pop that we have, and let's just drive downtown." So we lived in Claremore at the time, so we drove to downtown Tulsa, and we just began driving around and just looking. And as I was sharing earlier, we need to open our eyes. Marcus was looking, and as he was looking, I was getting more and more nervous. Because, I mean, this boy was crazy, honestly. Like, I didn't know what he was going to do, who he was going to want to stop and talk with. I had heard, you know, it's dangerous out there, right? But Marcus was looking for people. And so as I would see people driving by, I'd be like, "Hey, Marcus, how about this one?" He's like, "Nope, that's not the one." I was like, "Man, that one looked safe. Could have talked with that one." So we turned, kept driving down the road, and I kept pointing to these people. And Marcus is like, that's not the person. So we turned over by where the BOK Center is and started driving down towards where John 3:16 Mission is. And I didn't even know where that was at that point. And then Marcus saw a guy, and he said, "That's him." I was like, "Oh, here we go. Oh, man, Marcus." So we pulled over, and like, again, I didn't know what we were doing at this moment. And Marcus just jumped out of the truck and took off running. It's like, his parents are going to kill me. So I remember chasing after Marcus. Like, "Marcus, we can't do this. We can't just run off. We got to stay together. We got to be safe," which is what you should do. And so we got up to the man, and Marcus just started talking with him. I was like, "Wow, gosh." Marcus had his eyes open. He felt compassion on that specific person and wanted to reach out to him. So Marcus just started talking with him and said, "Hey, man, I've got some pizza in our truck over here. If you want to come eat with us, we'll sit down and eat." And he was like, "Yeah, man, I'd love to." So we walked back to my truck, and it's like, man, this is awesome. Just seeing Marcus, like, really being an example for all of us. And we got to the back of the truck. We let the tailgate down, and we had it, like, I can't remember. It was probably 2 or 3 pizzas, not very much. And so we were, in my head, like, we're going to stop and feed a homeless guy. He's going to want that whole pizza. He's like, "I know I can eat a whole pizza probably. My son can eat a whole pizza." So, like, most people would, like, eat most of that on their own. And so we sat down, and Marcus introduced himself, and the guy said, "My name's Larry." And Marcus just started talking with him. And I remember Larry asking, like, "Why are you doing this?" And this is something we had taught our kids to say, and, like, when we go out and share the gospel, people are just doing, like, a random act of kindness. And when people ask why you're doing it, he just said, "We're just trying to show you God's love in a practical way." And Larry was like, "Wow." So he ate a slice of pizza, and then he looked at Marcus and said, "Is it okay if we share this with my friends?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" Like, Marcus just carefree, didn't worry about anything. And I'm like, how many friends is this guy going to have? So we had pulled over right where, like, where John 3:16 Mission is. Right across the street, there's a parking lot. I think it's actually the parking lot for the jail there. And so we were sitting there, and Larry walks across the street. He walked slow, so, like, it probably made me worry more, like, just watching him casually get over there. And then he went inside, and then he came back out, and, like, there was a flood of men running towards us. And I was like, what have we got ourselves into? Like, seriously, there's probably 100 men running towards me and Marcus with 2 pizzas. Like, that's not going to work. But as we got there, Larry got back up to the front. These guys lined up on the sidewalk. Like, it's like, what is happening? Like, they're more orderly than, like, cafeteria lunches at school. And, like, they lined up, and, like, Larry was at the front, and he was taking the pizza and, like, tearing it and sharing it with them. And, like, we did end up running out because there wasn't enough. So we sat and talked for a little bit, and after everyone had kind of walked away, Marcus was like, "We got to go get more burgers." So we went and used some money to buy some more burgers for some of the guys that hung out. But before we left and went back home, I remember Marcus just pouring his heart into that guy, like sharing the gospel with him. And like, from that moment, like we began doing like we loved what happened that day. It wasn't as scary as I had thought, and Marcus clearly loved it. So our church started going downtown every single Sunday. After church, we would get together right after church and cook a bunch of hot dogs, and we'd just go downtown and just love on people. And I'll never forget, just every time, we always would go back to the same place. As soon as we got out of the truck, Marcus was looking for Larry. Like, there was a connection there. And, like, man, that's how we ought to be, really. Like, I think back on Marcus and just his heart. Like, he really wanted to help somebody in need. He opened his eyes and he saw Larry. He had compassion on Larry. He was like, that's the guy we've got to help. Then he did something about it. He opened his hands. That's what we're called to do as believers. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the things that He's commanded us. That last part we often forget about, but He says He's going to be with us always. So there's never any moment that we should be afraid, really. In those moments that we may feel a little nervous, that's when we lean into Jesus a little bit harder, because He's going to protect us. My family and I, we just got back from Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And man, there was like the day one, we went down there and we performed a drama to kind of help share the gospel to people. And so we trained for the drama. It's a long, hard day. And the first day we went to the prison to perform the drama. And man, like that's a place where most people would think, I'm scared. But to see like a group of honestly teenagers, we had a few adults with us. They were so focused and so like thinking like God would be thinking. Like, we need to go in here to share the gospel with them. There was no fear in any of them. We walked in, we sat amongst the people there. I mean, this is a prison in a border town in Mexico. There's cartel guys there, people who had murdered people. There's all sorts of people we would not want to be around, usually, here in America. But we just went in there and loved on them, connected with them, performed the drama, had amazing worship with them. And then, as our leader, she shared the gospel. And then she asked, if you would like a relationship with God today, we would love to help you with that. So she asked if anyone wanted to have that relationship, if they would just come to the front. Man, it was crazy to see like 75 to 100 men. It seemed like all of them. Like they ran to the front. And our team of students got to gather around these men to pray over them, to love on them. And you could see like, I mean, I've seen like a lot of crowds come together and like, did they all really receive Christ? You know what I mean? But to see, like, you could see it in their eyes. Like, they were weeping. Like, they knew. Like, their life was just changed forever. Our kids got to pray over them. You know, for my son, that was, like, the highlight of his week. Like, to see, like, God moved in a huge way. And we continued to see God just pour out His love and His mercy on people as we shared the gospel. And so many people came to know Christ. What I loved about it, too, is not only were they coming to know Christ, but we were connecting them with local churches. So they weren't just left to hopefully grow in their relationship. Our contacts down there got all their information and are connecting them with the local churches there. I love that. And as we came home, like, my mind continued to think, like, we were so willing to walk through neighborhoods and invite people to dramas to hear the gospel. In a country that's not our own, are we even doing that here? Like, that really for me was like kind of a gut check for me. Like, God gave me like a reminder, like, you need to be going out. The same way that we're so excited to share the gospel there in Mexico? I mean, I'll tell you, I love Mexico. I'd go down there every week if I could. But we need to have that same passion that we had for Mexico for our own neighborhoods, for the neighborhood around our church, neighborhoods around, I don't know where everybody lives, wherever you're at. I just want to encourage you with, there's people around us everywhere we go. And you might not be hearing these exact words, but they're asking, would you be my neighbor? Would you really open your eyes and look at me and see that I have a need? See that I have hurt? Would you really see me and not just walk away? Would you see me and let your heart be broken? And then would you please do something about it? There's needs everywhere. If we would just open our eyes, open our heart, and open our hands. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I'm so thankful for your word and what you've taught us through the story of the Good Samaritan and how we need to open our eyes and look for people. God, you've called us to go and share your love with this lost and broken world. God, if we're honest, there's brokenness all around us. There could even be brokenness right here in this very room. Lord, help us have eyes open and our heart open and being compassionate, wanting to help people. Lord, help us have our hands open and not just see the hurt and feel the hurt, but help us want to do something and do something about that. As we close this morning, I don't know how you typically close your service, if you have an invitation or what, but I'm going to say that this altar is open. And there's a lot of things that we could pray for as a church. Maybe we need to come down front and be bold and say, I just need to pray for me that I would open my eyes and look around to the hurt. Maybe we need to come down here and pray for our neighbor that we live next door to. Maybe we need to come down and literally pray for the community our church is in. Think about all the people that live all around. I'll tell you, my wife and I came over here last night and knocked on a few doors just to invite people to church. I'll tell you, there's brokenness around the church. There's people that need this church. You're in a perfect location to help people. There's people all around. Or maybe you're here today and you can say, I don't know Jesus. I don't understand why that Samaritan did what he did. I don't understand the love of Jesus, but I would like to. I'd like to have that relationship with him. If that's you, I'm going to be standing right down here in the front. And I would love to walk through that with you and help you begin that relationship with Jesus. So as we play, the altar is open for you to pray, and I'll be down here in the front.